do us to guide a horse and control his speed with the curb, and then find that our own passions, utterly uncurbed, bolt with us. Or to beat many opponents in wrestling or boxing, and then to find that we ourselves are beaten by anger. What then, you say? Do the liberal studies contribute nothing to our welfare? Very much in other respects, but nothing at all as regards virtue. For even these arts of which I have spoken, though admittedly of a low grade, depending as they do upon handiwork, contribute greatly toward the equipment of life, but nevertheless have nothing to do with virtue. And if you inquire, why then do we educate our children in the liberal studies? It is not because they can bestow virtue, but because they prepare the soul for the reception of virtue. Just as that primary course, as the ancients called it, in grammar, which gave boys their elementary training, does not teach them the liberal arts, but prepares the ground for their early acquisition of these arts, so the liberal arts do not conduct the soul all the way to virtue, but merely set it going in that direction. Posidonius divides the arts into four classes. First, we have those which are common and low, then those which serve for amusement, then those which refer to the education of boys, and, finally, the liberal arts. The common sort belong to workmen and are mere handwork. They are concerned with equipping life. There is in them no pretense to beauty or honor. The arts of amusement are those which aim to please the eye and the ear. To this class you may assign the stage machinists, who invent scaffolding that goes aloft of its own accord, or floors that rise silently into the air, and many other surprising devices, as when objects that fit together then fall apart, or objects which are separate then join together automatically, or objects which stand erect then gradually collapse. The eye of the inexperienced is struck with amazement by these things, for such persons marvel at everything that takes place without warning, because they do not know the causes. The arts which belong to the education of boys, and are somewhat similar to the liberal arts, are those which the Greeks call the cycle of studies, but which we Romans call the liberal. However, those alone are really liberal, or rather, to give them a truer name, free, whose concern is virtue. But, one will say, just as there is a part of philosophy which has to do with nature, and a part which has to do with ethics, and a part which has to do with reasoning, so this group of liberal arts also claims for itself a place in philosophy. When one approaches questions that deal with nature, a decision is reached by means of a word from the mathematician. Therefore, mathematics is a department of that branch which it aids. But many things aid us, and yet are not parts of ourselves. Nay, if they were, they would not aid us. Food is an aid to the body, but is not part of it. We get some help from the service which mathematics renders, and mathematics is as indispensable to philosophy as the carpenter is to the mathematician. But carpentering is not a part of mathematics, nor is mathematics a part of philosophy. Moreover, each has its own limits, for the wise man investigates and learns the causes of natural phenomena, while the mathematician follows up and computes their numbers and their measurements. The wise man knows the laws by which the heavenly bodies persist, what powers belong to them, and what attributes. The astronomer merely notes their comings and goings, the rules which govern their settings and their risings, and the occasional periods during which they seem to stand still, although as a matter of fact, no heavenly body can stand still. The wise man will know what causes the reflection in a mirror. But the mathematician can merely tell you how far the body should be from the reflection and what shape of mirror will produce a given reflection. The philosopher will demonstrate that the sun is a large body, while the astronomer will compute just how large, progressing in knowledge by his method of trial and experiment. But in order to progress, he must summon to his aid certain principles. No art, however, is sufficient unto itself, if the foundation upon which it rests depends upon mere favor. Now, philosophy asks no favors from any other source, if the foundation upon which it rests depends on mere favor. It builds everything on its own soil. But the science of numbers is, so to speak, a structure built on another man's land. It builds everything on alien soil. It accepts first principles, and by their favor arrives at further conclusions. If it could march unassisted to the truth, if it were able to understand the nature of the universe, I should say that it would offer much assistance to our minds. For the mind grows by contact with things heavenly, and draws into itself something from on high. There is but one thing that brings the soul to perfection, the unalterable knowledge of good and evil. But there is no other art which investigates good and evil. I should like to pass in review the several virtues. Bravery is a scorner of things which inspire fear. It looks down upon, challenges, and crushes the powers of terror, and all that would drive our freedom under the yoke. But do liberal studies strengthen this virtue? Loyalty is the holiest good in the human heart. It is forced into betrayal by no constraint, and it is bribed by no rewards. Loyalty cries, "Burn me, slay me, kill me. I shall not betray my trust, and the more urgently torture shall seek to find my secret, the deeper in my heart will I bury it." Can the liberal arts produce such a spirit within us? Temperance controls.